I am so glad you're here today. I hope you grabbed a handout and your Bible and will follow along. We'll be in Genesis chapter 4 here in just a moment. Here is our series that we're doing today. Today we're talking about connecting with God in worship, kind of a part two to what we did a couple of weeks ago. Next week we're going to be talking a little bit about giving, which is not the joy of giving. Some people think that's an oxymoron. That is not. I promise you, you're going to enjoy that lesson. We'll talk about the joy of communion in 2 weeks right before Friends Day. You've probably heard that said, I've told my kids this multiple times, things like, you're going to get out of it what you put into it, whether that's high school sports, whether that's college, doing college work, whether that's your new job that you have, what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. And you got to put work into something in order to get a bunch out of it. Attitude is what makes the difference, whether you're talking school or athletics or relationships or even worship, which we're going to talk about today. When it comes to worship, your attitude matters. When it comes to worship, you can say what you put into it may be what you get out of it. 2 weeks ago, we looked at a group of people in Malachi chapter 1 that God was frustrated with. In fact, God called them cheaters, because what they were doing was, when it came to their worship and when it came to their sacrifices, they weren't bringing their best. They were bringing animals that were defective or blind or something that was wrong with them. And he said, that's not what I want from you. I want you to bring me your best. Today, when we get over to Genesis chapter 4 and we meet both Cain and Abel, and we're going to tell this story a little different, because anytime you're talking Cain and Abel, you're talking about the first murder that took place in the Bible. That's not where we're going to go. We're going to talk about something else that we learn about worship and what God wants when it comes to the story of Cain and Abel. So if you've got your Bibles, Genesis chapter 4, let's look for a second about acceptable worship to God and what he is looking for. And so you've got Cain and you've got Abel. Those are the first two boys of Adam and Eve that we know about. And it says they are grown boys. And it says, when it came time for harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. And the Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. And this made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. I don't know for sure when sacrifices started, but it was something that obviously Cain and Abel had learned from Adam. And what I don't know is the whys and the hows, but what I know is that they were doing it. And there was something specific about Cain's sacrifice to God that God wasn't a fan of. And there was something specific about Abel's sacrifice that God was a fan of. And can I just tell you right off the bat, I don't believe it had anything to do with one brought harvest or vegetables and one brought a lamb or meat. What it's going to have to do and what we're going to have to learn is that it has everything to do with Cain, notice this, offering some, and Abel offering the best. The difference is going to be, as we look right here, is pretty obvious that Cain was just satisfied with bringing some average. Well, here's some for God, where Abel was over here going, here, I'm looking for the best to bring for God. And I think that plays true for us, because sometimes we have to ask in our heart, are we more like Cain or are we more like Abel? When it comes to giving God worship and giving God sacrifice, do we find ourselves doing things out of maybe tradition or maybe ritual that this is just what we do, we come and we give God some? Or do we come with the attitude, I want to bring my best today? So in Genesis chapter 4, there are two things about worship that I think you need to catch today. And one is pretty obvious here. And if this is the one thing you catch all day long in this, then that's the most important thing. And that's right off the bat. Number one, God does not want you to offer some. God wants you to offer him your best. God is not looking for you to just bring some. He's not looking for average. He's not looking at whatever you got left. He's saying, I want you to bring your very best. I think we find out very quickly that Cain presented some crops, while Abel presented his best portions. And so the question has to be, have I given God this morning some, or have I given God this morning my best? Have I presented God with my songs that was the best? Have I presented God with my communion thoughts and my attitude that was the best? And so much of this has to do with attitude, with how you came today, what depended. So sometimes we kind of are people who, if you got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, it may affect the way that you've worshiped this morning. If you're a person that's maybe a glass half empty person versus a glass half full person, you may have come with just a little bit of a, hey, I'm going to check this out and see if I like it here or not. And one of the things that we've learned in this series and will continue to learn, that really worship is not about us. It's all about God. And it's about giving God not some, but all. And attitude makes the difference. So let me just give you an example for a second, all right? When I was young, I have a younger brother that's 2 years younger than I am. And he and I, our responsibility in a family of nine was to carry out the trash every day. I had one day, and he'd do a day, and I'd do a day, and he'd do a day. And so every other day, our job was to take out the trash. Now, Bruce, pretty happy kid. He always got the trash, took it out, didn't complain, did a great job. Me, on the other hand, I found trash, I didn't see it as a blessing that we had food to eat and we had all these other things, and so we made trash. I saw it as an annoyance. I've got to take out the trash today. And every time, I would never actually do it. I'd have to wait until somebody said, hey, it's your day to take out the trash. And I would take it out. I would be obedient, but I would complain from the back door all the way to the alley into the dumpster and all the way back into the house. And I remember one day my mom saying, I wish you would take out the trash like your little brother. And I remember kind of being confused because I thought, he doesn't do trash any better than I do. He doesn't, I mean, Thomas, I can get there and back as quickly as he can. I don't spill trash. I don't miss the dumpster. There's nothing about his taking out the trash that he does better than I do. And she said, it's all about your attitude. He does it happily. You complain about it every time. And it was like somebody dumped a big pile of bricks on my head. Because I hadn't looked at it that way. Yes, we were both being obedient. We were both doing what we were told to do, but I didn't have the right attitude. I was there to offer some as a member of this family, but I sure didn't offer all. Does that make sense? It all came back to how you were willing to do something, and I can guarantee you, Cain probably thought, hey, what I brought wasn't bad. It just wasn't my best, but it wasn't bad. So we've got to give God quality when it comes to our sacrifice to Him. So let's run down the list real quick. Have you sang today? Have you sang your best? Did you sing, period? Did you think about the words when we sang? When you sang the last song, when you sang any of them, man, I was pumped. I was challenged by them. Were you challenged by the words that were said? Did you think about, boy, God, you are so good to us? And as Matt talked about last week, it's not about your ability to sing. It is the fact that you connect your heart when you sing. It's the fact that you're thinking about the words when you sing. It's not the whether or not you can carry a tune. Have you ever heard the phrase, that person can't carry a tune in a bucket? Yep, you've heard that, right? My dad can't even find a bucket to carry a tune in. He is literally that tone deaf. And if you stand by him in church, during worship, you have to kind of tone him out, because you'll be all over the charts trying to sing bass or tenor or whatever it is, because he's singing loud, and none of it's in key, none of it's in tune, and everything else. And we teased him for a while, and he would go, one of these days we'll get to heaven, and you're going to find out I've been doing it right the whole time, and y'all are wrong. That's good stuff. because he's right. It's really, it's not about me carrying a tune. I want to carry a tune because I want to offer God my best, but it's not about the tune. It's about, have I connected my heart? Have I brought my best today? Or have I just brought some? Because God doesn't want some. God wants my best. How about giving? You know, we'll talk about it next week. We don't pass any plates. You probably have noticed visitors all the time go, how in the world do you give here? You know, and I'll have folks, I'll go, hey, there's little boxes all over the building, and that's where you give. But you know what? Giving is a part of worship. Giving back to God is something that God has told us to do. And there's joy in the fact that we can be givers. And so you kind of have to ask yourself, in my giving, do I just give God some? Or do I give God the best? What about in communion? Did I actually think about Jesus and his sacrifice for me this morning during communion? Or did I think about what's for lunch and what time when is the fantasy football draft start and everything else? Did I give God some, or did I give God my best? It's all about attitude. Don't do things out of duty. Don't be here today because your wife made you come. Don't be here today because mom and dad said, I got to get up. Be here today because you want to be, because that's how it's supposed to be. Don't be here because you have to, or because a preacher you guilted you into it. Bring God your best, not some. Second thing that you need to catch right here. Worship God on his terms and not yours. This is a very, very simple point. It goes back to the fact that it's about God and not about you. Cain found out in the story it wasn't about him. You know, God didn't come to Cain and go, hey, you put out some effort, well done. You brought some, well done. God doesn't give him that. God says, Cain, you did not offer me your best. You see, sometimes in worship we go, hey, I showed up. I may not have sang, and I may not have been there in my head or in my heart, but I was there. And God goes, I'm not looking for some. I want your best. We have to do things his way, not our way. That is actually what he requires of us. It's not about you and me. It's not about trying to decide, hey, who's doing the preaching today and who's doing the song leading today and what songs have they picked out and do I like these songs. It's about what pleases God today. I like the story about the guy who, on the way out of services that morning, told the preacher, he made the comment, said, not the best worship today, preacher. And the preacher said, that's okay, we weren't here to worship you today. You know, sometimes we think it's about us, and it's not about us. I want to remind you, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said some very disturbing words. I consider them to be disturbing. Listen to this, kind of a scary text. Jesus goes, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me on that day, talking judgment day, many will say to me on that day, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not cast out demons in your name? Have I not done many wondrous things in your name? And then he will declare to them, depart from me, for I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. If there's ever a text that tells us and reminds us that God says, I want things done a certain way, that's one of them. It's God's way, not my way. And so it's important for us to understand that we want to do things on God's terms, not on our terms. And when it comes to worship, we want to do things focused on God, not focused on us. So for the rest of our time together for a moment, I want to give you 9 words this morning. And I hope you've grabbed a handout this morning, and I hope you'll write these down. I hope you'll consider putting them in your Bible or in the margin of your Bible, because I think these are 9 words that we're going to learn this morning that's going to help us to give God our best and not just some. The first word that I want you to catch this morning is the word respect. Respect. I want you to think about who God is that we have come to worship today. God is the creator of the earth. He is powerful enough to speak things into existence and speak things out of existence. He is a God that is absolutely awesome. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is all-present. You just go down the list, and God is absolutely phenomenal. And I think when you learn about who God is and what he does, you can't help but say, I got to worship. I got to worship. In Exodus 33 and 34, Moses, I love the story, Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments and he asks God, God, can I look at you? Can I see your face? And God tells him, says, you can't see my face. If you see my face, you're going to die. I'm that holy. But I will show you my back. You can just kind of see me as I pass by. Do you remember what happens? And so God says, I'm going to actually cover you with my hand to kind of shield you for a second. And then you look back and you can see my back. And God does that. And Moses sees God. And do you remember what happens? He comes down off the mountain with the Ten Commandments, and he glows. Now, I think there's not only is it an amazing story, I think there's also humor in this story. I'm just blown away by a man glowing at night. So much so, the people said, Moses, you're spooking us. Put a veil over your face. We are scared to even look at you. But would it just not be awesome to glow from being in God's presence? And yet, we're taught, hey, you're the light of the world. When you connect with God, you should be glowing from the inside out. People ought to be able to look at you and go, that person's different. When you understand about God and who he is as an incredible, amazing God that you respect and you honor his awesomeness, you can't help but live a certain way, talk a certain way, serve a certain way, love a certain way, and people are going to look and go, that person's different because of respect for who God is. The second word that I want you to catch this morning is the word priority. The word priority. I want you to think about making worship a priority. If I was to ask you, sit down and make a list of the most important things you're going to get done this week. If you're like me, I wouldn't have thought, you know, I need to put worship God on my list. Now, you may have just kind of thought like, that's just part of my week, I'm going to do that. But here's what we really should do. When people start talking and they go, hey, what do you got planned this week? What's on your list of priorities to get done this week? Worship God ought to be right there. It ought to be first and foremost because God has been so amazingly good to us. And if you're studying in Bible class on Ephesians, you can't help but see that. It ought to be a priority because God has been so good. And yet we get so busy sometimes during the week. The Saturday rolls around and you're kind of going, are we going to church tomorrow? I am really tired. Or we just have not had a lot of family time and maybe we need to stay home today and have some family time. Worship should be a priority. And can I say it this way for just a second? Worship should be the thing that you cancel everything else for. Not the thing that you cancel to do everything else. Worshiping God ought to be on your list of things that you say, I will not miss this. Let me say this way. I like this. Don't let anything keep you from worship on Sunday that would not keep you from work on Monday. Let me say that again. Don't let anything keep you from worship on Sunday that wouldn't keep you from work on Monday. So you may be sitting here going, oh, we're exhausted. We had a long weekend. We were out late Saturday night. We just need some downtime Sunday. Would you take downtime on Monday? Oh, no, I got to go earn a paycheck. And serve. That's my job. Where's your priorities? I have a friend named Marcus. I love Marcus. Marcus is kind of new to the faith, and he's trying to figure out how to make God a priority in his life. And his priority has been his kids his whole life. And Marcus would never miss one of his kids' ball games. He would never, ever miss one of his kids' ball games. He's so excited for those because he wants to be that good father, and he is. But he asked me one time when he was trying to figure all this out, and he goes, hey, it was a Saturday night, and he sends me a text, and he goes, hey, we're supposed to be getting a blizzard tonight. Will there be church tomorrow? And I said, you know, I don't know for sure, Marcus, but I'm guessing that there will be because we don't know about the blizzard. It may storm bad. It won't. We'll let you know. But he said, should I try to get everybody out for Sunday services with snow on the ground? And I said, well, let me ask you this way. Would you, if your kids were playing a ball game tomorrow morning, would you get out and go to the ball game? And he said, absolutely, I would. I said, well, then maybe that ought to be how you decide whether or not you should be at church in the morning. And Marcus said, that's really good. You know, sometimes we have to refocus. We just get so used to this sometimes that we just kind of go, oh, yeah, I'll get there if I can. Worship needs to be a priority. Can I say this? Worship shouldn't be something you got to. Worship should be something you get to. being here this morning is not something you got to do. It's something you get to do. Third word that I want you to catch down here is the word heart. You got to connect your heart. You've got to connect your heart. Sometimes it's easy to not do this. Sometimes I sing a song. If I know the song really well, I can sing the whole song of trust and obey and never think a word about it. Just because I'm just going through the motions. And I've got to stop and I've got to connect my heart. The fourth thing is prepare. Prepare. You need to get yourself ready. You did this morning. You got yourself ready physically this morning. You got up and you brushed your teeth and you washed your face and you combed your hair and you put on deodorant. And I'm glad. I'm really glad you did all those things. Please don't make light of that. I want you to do those things. But none of those things help you worship better. None of those things prepare you for worship. So can I challenge you on Sunday mornings to get up and pray, to spend a little time praying? Can I challenge you on Sunday mornings to get up and read your Bible before you come? Look in the handout or the bulletin, find out what the text is for the day in the sermon. Go ahead and read through that. Read through a psalm, something to just get you focused and to prepare your mind for stuff. I said it last week. 2 weeks ago, I'll say it again, lay your stuff out on Saturday night of what you, I did that last night. I went into my closet, figured out what I was going to wear, because if I don't, I stand there on Sunday morning looking at all these clothes going, I don't know what I'm going to wear. That's one less thing you got to mess with on Sunday morning. Pick it out. Get everything prepared ahead of times. Don't let Satan derail you. Number five, be on time. The word is time. I'm going to preach here for just a second, all right? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm going to say it. So you're telling me that you can get to the football game in time to see the kickoff? You can fight traffic? You can get there early enough that you're not going to miss the kickoff? You can get there in time to hear the first song of the concert, because, man, you got tickets for that and you paid for those and you want to be there. You can get there in time for the first pitch of the ball game. Yeah, that's me. I want to be there for the first pitch of the baseball game. You don't want to miss the first 5 minutes of the movie. I'm going to get there on time. But you can't regularly get to Bible class on time. What is that kind of priority looking like to your family? Which one of those is more important when you go, hey, guys, we got to get there on time, or we'll get there eventually? Work at being on time. Sometimes things happen. I get that. I'd rather you be late and be here than not be here. But make sure that you're on time. Number six is Bible. Bring your Bible. I would love for you to bring every week your Bible. Now, if you just want to bring your phone, I'm okay with that. But you probably have more self-discipline than I do, because if I'm looking at my phone following along in the text and I get a text or a notification, next thing I know, I'm off somewhere and I forgot where I was doing in the sermon. But I want to challenge you to bring your Bible, read the text, spend time in the text, take notes in the text, circle words in the text. I don't know about you, but the very first things I think, if I could have told you to do it this morning, the two words you should have focused on in the text this morning from Genesis 4 is the word some and the word best. Those are circled in my Bible because I want to make sure that I give the right thing. Mark in your Bibles whatever it is, but you spend time. The Bible is what it's all about. I hope 2 weeks ago you went home thinking, Malachi chapter 1, I don't want to be like those guys offering defected animals to God. And I hope today you leave here going, Cain and Abel, I want to give all, not some. Next word is the word listen. Pay attention. Work hard to listen. Pick up a handout on Sundays. Follow along. Take notes in it. Take notes in the handout. Write in your Bible whatever it takes. But listen, work hard to listen. Participate. There's number eight for you. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but worship is not a spectator sport. You haven't been called to watch. You've been called to participate. You are here to be involved, to sing. You're not here to critique. That is not your job. Your job is to participate and focus on God. When it comes to worship, it's all about God and not about us. We sing and we focus on what we need to focus on. The last word is the word expect. I like that word. I expect every week when I show up, God's going to do something in my life. When I sing to him, I'm going to leave filled and challenged. I am going to expect to get something out of it, not because it's been about me, because it has been about God, because I have moved the focus of attention off of me and onto God. And I'm absolutely amazed that I can come to WOW. For those of you who are WOW people, on worship on Wednesdays, and if you haven't been a part of that, you need to check that out. Worship on Wednesdays this Wednesday night at 7. For those who are WOW, I leave there going, oh, my cup is so full. I show up going, this is about God tonight. We worship tonight. And I leave there on a spiritual high of going, oh, God, this was so amazing. But sometimes on Sundays, if I'm not careful, I worship on Wednesdays and I come to church on Sundays. And it's about me. And you should get something out of the sermon. And you should get filled in Bible class in different areas. But you know really what Sunday is? Sunday is worship on Sunday. We have worship on Wednesday. We have worship on Sunday. And I expect the same thing on Sunday mornings to get so much out of it. I don't know about you, but as I worshiped last week with all the singing, talk about incredible. Talk about filled. And as I worshiped Wednesday night and WOW and worshiped God, I remember I got in a car Wednesday night after two services last week that were absolutely amazing. And I told Lee, I said, man, if you don't like last Sunday and you don't like tonight, you're not going to enjoy heaven. And that's true, because it's going to be all about worship. All about worship. You've probably heard it said, what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. I want to tell you that if you'll focus on God, you'll get a lot out of it. And that it's not all about you. It is about him. And I would like to give you just a little homework assignment for the day. I would like you to take those 9 words, and I'd like for you sometime today, whether if you've got a family here and your family is sitting in here, to sit down at a dinner table or sometime today and talk about those 9 words and say, where are we doing good on these and where are we struggling? Which of these 9 words can we improve on? Is it bringing our Bibles? Is it being on time? Is it making God a priority? And just kind of go through and go, all right, so I'm batting, 400 or 500. I'm batting 800, whatever it is. But just a little bit in there to go, hey, I just need to evaluate. How am I doing? And then start working on those little short ones, okay? Because when it all comes down to it, it comes down to 2 words. Are you giving God some, or are you giving God your best? So I want to do something that I did 2 weeks ago. I want to ask at this time, if you would you stand with me? We're going to pray together this morning, and we're going to talk to God about those 2 words. And I want to give you just a few moments of self-reflection to ask yourself and God, have I given you some or have I given you my best? And maybe you need to do some confessing in here with him just where you sit this morning. Maybe you just need to tell him, hey, God, you're such a great God. Thank you for filling me today. And then after the prayer, we'll have an invitation song. And if you need to respond this morning in any way, you can do so in that point. But let's bow our heads and let's pray together for a moment. And I'm going to give you just a moment for a few moments of silence. Father, we come before you today and we apologize for bringing some at times in our life. We want to be people who bring it all. We want to give you our best. We want to offer you our very, very best. And we're sorry when we have not done this. We want to come to you, Father, on your terms and not ours. We want to worship you and follow you and obey you the way you want, not the way we want. May we see you, Father, for being an amazing God. May we give you priority. May we be prepared, Father, to come on Sundays. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for blessing us the way you do. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. If you need to respond at this time, would you come as we stand and sing?